be with us this morning. I thank you that you would speak to our hearts in every word that is spoken. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see that everything started with the Word. God spoke, and the universe came into being. All he did was speak a word, and it happened. And the universe continues to be the universe because God spoke it. And he told us to speak into everything. Everything that we speak means something. In John 6 and 63, it says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." You know, we've thought, I guess for too long, we've thought that words are just sound, that they're just noise. But that's just what we hear with our natural ears. That's just what we're hearing. But words are spirit. That's why when people speak certain words to you, they actually go right down into your belly. And you hear those words spoken by the right person for the rest of your life. You're no good. You won't amount to anything. You can't do that. You won't be able to. You can't do the things that Gary does. You'll never be able to do that. You can't do what Blair does. You're not. You're nothing. And that's where they live. You keep hearing those words because when you speak words, you give life to them. God made it that way. Because he spoke, he told us to speak. And when we speak, those words carry life. Now you can speak life, or you can speak what? Death. But they're not just noise. So what we've thought is just words or noise is wrong. I'm just dying to go on a holiday. Why would you say that? Well, I don't mean anything by it. That's because we think it's just noise. But they're spirit, and those words are going out to do things. Now, I don't know if you're going to die before you go on holidays or that thing's going to happen right now. But those words were sent. And what happens with God's word? It does not return void. It accomplishes that for which it was sent. Job 38 and 33 says, "Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth?" Do we know what that means? It says, "Do you know spiritual law and how spiritual laws affect natural laws? Do you? Can you change the things on earth that have already been set in motion in heaven? Can you do that? Can I do that? Can we do that?" Half the time we're putting these things on God. God is not the problem. God said the power of life and death are where? In our tongue. Psalm 141 and 3 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." He calls our lips a door. Now, this is an Old Testament request. God is not going to keep your lips. What God is going to do is show you how to keep your own lips. Now, he did things for them in the Old Testament because they weren't redeemed. But a different story now. We've been redeemed. We're going to have to keep our own mouth. We're going to have to decide that when we speak to our neighbor or about our neighbor, that we speak life. gee, my neighbor's so good at this or so good at that. Gee, he or she can sure do this or that. They're sure good workers. Not, well, that was probably the dumbest thing I've ever seen anybody do. Anybody said that? But what did it do? Those words speak life. Did I lose my place? No. Psalm 39 and 1. I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. Who are the wicked? Is that people? Or is that the devil? Demons. So demons, by this, are waiting on your mouth. They are perched, waiting on your conversation. Because death and life, the demons know, is not in the power of God. It's not in the power of Satan. Whose power is it? It's in ours, in the power of our mouth. They come, they try to distract you. They put you in situations. They put you in circumstances, trying to get you to say or speak the wrong thing. Their job is to get you to loose your tongue, to get you to say something that God didn't say. And what we have to do is put a muzzle on it. Put a muzzle on those lips. Don't say that first thing that pops into our head. That first thing, you know, how does that saying go? Letting the mouth go before you engage the brain. We've got to put the brain in gear first. We've got to think about the things we say. Proverbs 30 and 32 again says, if you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. Again, put a gag in it. Keep your mouth closed. Because the enemy comes to put a thought in your mind, and that's devising evil, and try to get you to speak it. And God is not going to keep it. You're going to have to keep it. God's not going to go around keeping your mouth closed. He's told you and me, us, to do it. Paul teaches in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. God wants us to speak words that will build things up, build people up, build situations up, not tear them down, not tear down relationships, not tear down your brother, not tear down your sister or your neighbor. Now we're going to move to Job, and as probably everyone in here knows, Job had a little bit of an issue with the devil and with some friends. And in Job 6:23-24, it says, or deliver me from the enemy's hand, or redeem me from the hand of oppressors. Teach me, and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand wherein I have erred. You know, there's a thing going around, and it's been going around for years. It's positive thinking. You know, we've had books on it, seminars on it. And we think, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, positive thinking is good, but positive thinking alone won't deliver you. Why? Because words have authority. Thoughts are a good thing. You have to have them. But what you put voice to is what's going to happen. Thank God for positive thinking, because that's bringing us a little ways on. Positive thinking just has you to think positive as the boat's going down. If you don't say something or do something, boat's still going down. Glug, glug, glug. Still going down. Positive thinking alone will not change your circumstances. It will change you. It's what you say out of your mouth. Now, I want to move to a story in Mark 5. And let's read that all together. And begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." I'll get you to leave that up there. So what's happened here? Jesus is walking along with his disciples, and a man named Jairus comes running up to him and says, "Please, you have to come with me. I'm begging you. Come with me. My daughter is dying. If you don't come now, she will die. She's that close to death." And Jesus starts to go with him. Well, as Jesus starts to go with him, the power goes out and he stops. And the lady with the issue of blood is healed from touching Jesus. So at this point, I'm thinking of Jairus. His daughter is dying, will be dead in minutes, he thinks. And this lady has to get healed right in front of him. And then she has to tell her whole story. Say that she's been to the doctor, she's been everywhere, she's done everything. And I knew if I could get to you, I'd be better. And Jairus is going, "Are you kidding me? Are you serious? You're healed. Get out of here. We got to go get my daughter healed. We got to get my daughter well." At that very second when he's thinking, "We got to get to my daughter," and the woman has been healed, the guys come running from his house and say, "Your daughter is dead." What is the very first thing that is done? What does Jesus say? "Do not be afraid, only believe." Shh, Not a word. Not, do not say it. Do not say it. What's coming up in his mind? Jairus wants to say, well, that lady wouldn't shut up about her healing. She had to go on and on. I don't care about the doctors. I want my daughter healed. Now she's dead. The very first thing Jesus says, do not be afraid, only believe. Shh. Don't say it. Don't say it. We've got this handled. And through Jesus, we've got this handled. So they get to the house, and they're, I don't know how that word is pronounced, tumulting. They're tumulting. They're crying and weeping and wailing. And what does Jesus do? He changes the spiritual atmosphere immediately by saying she's only sleeping. They're saying, God giveth and the Lord taketh away. Into this world, he brought her in, he took her away. Early, it was too early, took another rose for his garden. That's not true. That's not what happened. If God would have wanted her dead, Jesus wouldn't have raised her. So he wasn't there showing off. He didn't say anything to impress anybody. All he was doing the second he got there was to change the spiritual atmosphere. Now, when you're going through something, the devil will send people your way to change your mouth or to keep you quiet. And at some point, you're going to have to say something. Some people think, if I just be quiet and say nothing, nobody knows. But that won't work, because at some point, you're going to say something. I don't know where it is. I don't know where it'll be, but you're going to say something. The enemy will do all he can to make you back up or renege on your confession. At this point, we cannot consider what the world may think about that confession. People that don't understand what Jesus is saying or understand about Jesus, period, might say, when you say, I'm believing that I'm healed. Are you kidding me? What did you just say? He'll try and get you backed up. At this point, we got to know what Romans 3:4 says, that let God be true and every man a liar. We got to know what God said. In the face of death, we got to say, like my wife said when I was in Vancouver, he will live and not die. He will live and declare the works of the Lord. That's the word of God. Now, the doctor's word was he's probably going to die. And if he does live, it'll be the first of many, many surgeries. And he will be a raging diabetic for the rest of his life. But the word didn't say that. The word said, I would live and not die, and that I would declare the works of the Lord. And I thank God for that daily. We must continually be putting spiritual law into motion. Every word we say, every thought that we have that we're thinking about, putting a word to, putting a voice to, think before we say it. Proverbs 18 and 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. It doesn't say those who love it will eat the fruit of life. It's whatever power you're using your tongue for. If you want to use it for death, you will eat its fruit. You want to use it for life, you will love it and eat its fruit. Let's make it. Let's make ourselves have words with value. Words that have value, spoken with value. That every word that we speak, we're going to measure against the word of God. Every word. Now, we do have to get around people with like faith. It's always easy to stay in here. It's really easy just to say, you know, I was healed. My wife prayed. Friends prayed. Everybody prayed. Praise God. It's easy to do it here. It's when we get out there and the devil puts some pressure on us. Puts us in a situation where our pride might come into play. We're going to have to be willing to see ourselves in the future at that point. Out the other side with our confession still intact. The reason this doesn't happen or hasn't been happening is because it hasn't been in our hearts. It hasn't, you know, you've heard the words being shot like arrows. And I get that, and I see the picture. I'm a picture guy. Everything that, if someone even speaks to me, I'm got pictures going all the time. So I picture these things. So that's interesting. That words are like arrows. But they literally penetrate your heart. Me speaking to you, or me speaking to you, Daniel, or Andy. Those words go directly into your being, into your spirit, because they're spirit. They join with your spirit. Words are spirit and life. We have to get it so into our hearts that we give our words such value that we wouldn't even think of saying something contrary to God's word. We will have so much value and weight on our words, to our words, that if we say it, we know that it will come to pass. That also comes with faith, right? And how do we get faith? And hearing from the word of God. It's all tied together. I had, when I was preparing, and I'm that guy, like I've known about this for 6 or 7 weeks or something. And I spent yesterday, all day yesterday, thinking, well, I prayed and I thought, Lord, well, what about this? And I mean, I've got pages and pages of stuff. And then when I thought, yeah, that's it, then I got the word. And I really wanted not just to come and speak idle words, I guess, like just to speak because Pastor Hans isn't here. Psalm 138 and 2. This is so powerful. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. What does that mean? That means if he ever speaks something, he totally surrenders to it. He is under the authority of whatever word he has ever spoken or will speak. And he won't ever, you won't ever get him to change it. If he promises something, he completely gives himself to it. And what's the word for that? Every word that God says is yes and amen. If he said it, believe it. because God is true. Now, there's a word, this is a new one to me, so sort of help me with it here. It's called homologous. And it's two words together, and homo, which is one, and logios is to do with word and word spoken. So it's to join your words with God's words, to speak the word of God through your mouth, to have the same effect that when God said, "My word that goes forth does not return to me void. It accomplishes that for which I sent it." So put value, add value to your words every time you speak. Oh, geez, that colony just goes on and on and on. No, no, no. Gee, Colin did a good job. So, I know where I was anyways, as I was studying this and writing it down, I was thinking, oh, Lord, I say stuff just... If you were ever in the Orr house back in the day when we were growing up and teenagers and stuff, it was always a quick wit contest. Like it was always just snap, snap, just everybody getting burnt all the time. And so I find myself a lot of the time speaking long before I think. And that's bit me lots of times because I spend a lot of time apologizing to different people for things I've said or might have said or that they might have thought I said when really, see, I was that person just putting sound out there. I say, oh, I didn't mean that, but I said it. And as a whole, as a congregation, as followers of the Lord, we have to make an informed decision and we have to speak his word into every situation, into our lives, into the lives of our neighbors, our friends, our enemies. We're not asked to hate our enemies. We're asked to pray for them. Anybody not prayed for an enemy? I was the only one, huh? I'm probably the wrong guy to be up here. Anyways, I was thinking, what? I mean, I can't go around. I mean, there's probably numerous people in the world that I would have to apologize to that I don't know that I've said anything or done anything. But I thought we could go through this. I'll just read it to you. And then I'd ask that those of you who would like to, repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I cancel every negative word that I've spoken. Every word that I've released that's been against your will and your plan for my life and the lives of others. I ask you to forgive me for it. I cancel it now in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, from this day, give me understanding, give me conviction from your Holy Spirit when I go crossways to the Word of God. Help me. Give me the grace to say what you said in every situation. Help me be bold. Help me to be strong. You said, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Now from this day forward, my words are not only going to make me free, but whoever I speak those words over, they shall be free indeed. I thank you for it from this day forward. I shall win and never lose. I shall be on top and never on the bottom. I'm the head and not the tail. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you think you agree with that and you would like to do the same thing I did, then repeat after me. With your heart, knowing that we're starting over. Father, in the name of Jesus, I cancel every negative word that I've spoken. Every word that I've released that's been against your will and your plan for my life and the lives of others. I ask you to forgive me for it. I cancel it now in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, from this day, give me understanding. Give me conviction from your Holy Spirit when I go crosswise to the Word of God. Help me, give me the grace to say what you said in every situation. Help me be bold and help me be strong. You said, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Now from this day forward, my words are not only going to make me free, but whoever I speak those words over, they shall be free indeed. I thank you for it from this day forward. I shall win and never lose. I shall be on top and never on the bottom. I'm the head and not the tail. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So most of that was the Word of God being spoken back. That we will win and never lose. That we are the head and not the tail. And the, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I would just challenge each person in here and friends that you might know or come in contact with to share with them, to speak life, because your words are life, but to speak life and not death in all situations. So if Marlene, if you want to...